The Old Testament reading for the fifth midweek Lenten Vespers is from Genesis 22:1-14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and will come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls, with the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews then answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon today is titled Hearing God's Words. It's John chapter 8, 42 to 59. And those are the texts that we are looking at today. How good are you at listening? Have you ever sat out on your back porch or in your backyard and just listened to the sounds around you? This time of year in the spring, you can hear birds singing all around your neighborhood, different ones too, not just the ravens. There is often a dog barking in the distance or maybe next door. You can hear the dull roar of traffic on the local main road. In the Hillsdale neighborhood, where the church is located, that road where you can hear the traffic is the El Camino Real. Listen a bit closer and you might make out the occasional truck or motorcycle on the road. On occasion, you might hear the Caltrain commuter trains whistling and rumbling as they head through town. You might hear the airplanes as they fly in and out of San Francisco International Airport. All those sounds, and more, are there all the time. But you won't notice them unless you stop whatever you are doing, pay attention, and listen. How good are you at listening to God's words? Are you in the practice? Or do you take the time out to hear God's words? That is the question that is raised by Jesus in our gospel this evening. John 8:47, he says, He who is of God hears God's words. Now when Jesus said, He who is of God hears God's words, he was not complimenting the people around him. He was in the middle of an argument with the Jewish religious leaders. The preceding verses in John 8:3, which is before our text, indicates that these leaders were primarily the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the religious scholars of their day, kind of like our professors at our universities. Their claim to fame was their supposed expertise in the knowledge of the scriptures. The Pharisees were the leading political party within the Jewish church. Their claim to fame was real social and political power. Jesus was a challenge to their power and influence, both to the scribes and Pharisees, and that is why they sought to put him to death. Our gospel lesson this evening is part of a longer discourse that starts in John chapter 8, verse 2, and finishes with the last verses you heard in John 8:59. That's when they picked up stones to stone him. The setting was the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, which was the largest public area in the city. In John 8:2, the situation started with Jesus arriving in the temple courtyard in the early morning. He was sat down, and all the people came over to listen to his teaching. Then, while he was teaching, interrupting his Bible class, as it were, some of the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in the act of adultery. According to the law of Moses, adulterers were to be stoned to death. They asked Jesus what he taught about punishment for adulterers. Jesus delayed his response for a while and then finally said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." One by one, the accusers who had brought the woman left in embarrassment. Why did they not take up stones and throw one at her? Because each one of her accusers was guilty of the same sin that they accused her of. When all the accusers were gone, Jesus told the woman, "I do not condemn you. Go now and sin no more." What did Jesus teach about adultery? He did teach that it was a serious sin, but he did not teach that adultery was a crime worthy of death. In fact, he did not teach that any sexual sin is a crime worthy of death. In Jesus' religion, these offenses are to be legislated and tried by the state, not by the church. And that is why in Lutheran theology, marriage is to be regulated by the laws of the state and not by the laws of the church. At the same time, the Bible clearly teaches that those people who persist in the sexual sins of fornication, adultery, or homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words." In John 8:31-32, again, just before our text, Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here Jesus wants you to do more than just listen. He wants you to always listen and to try to act according to his words. That's what it means to abide in his word. Are you the type of Christian who just goes through the motions? You went through the motions to get baptized, and that was good. You probably went to Sunday school, and that was good. Maybe you went to Christian day school. That was good. You went, probably, almost all of you went to catechism class. That was good. You were confirmed. That was good. You brought your children to the baptismal font, which was good. You go to church and communion regularly, which is good. All these things are good and necessary. But if you just go through the motions, without listening to and believing in God's word, these good things won't do you any good. The sounds of the church and the sounds of God's word are all around you when you are regularly here at church, just like the sounds of the city are all around you here in San Mateo. But you won't hear God's word unless you stop whatever you are doing, pay attention, and listen to these words, and then keep on listening to the words of Scripture. God's word in the Bible is not like any other book you might read once and then put on the shelf for the rest of your life or give away to Goodwill. The Bible is an exceedingly complex book filled with poetry, fables, wise sayings, proverbs, prophecies, histories, teachings, and epics. I have found in my own devotional life that life experience brings new insight into the Bible. I understand many things in the Bible now, in my 60s, that I would have never understood in my 30s, and that's not because I'm a minister. It is because life throws different challenges and temptations at you at different phases of life, and your priorities change, and your perspective changes. That's why the Bible is always a new book every time you read it. I challenge each one of you to set aside some time each week, or maybe each day if that's possible, to read through the entire Bible from cover to cover. And you don't have to do that in order from Genesis to Revelation. You can pick out which books you want, but try to cover the whole thing. Many of you have plenty of time right now during the restrictions of the pandemic. You should have enough knowledge from your catechism class to do this on your own. A good study Bible like the CPH Lutheran Study Bible can help you understand more of the Bible when you read it, but any good English translation will do. I've found that it is easier to listen to God's Word when I'm reading by myself. I don't have to follow the preacher's train of thought or the discussion of the group Bible class, which often goes off on tangents, and I'm partly to blame for that sometimes. And when I read by myself, I can stop right in the middle of a verse, pay attention, listen to, and consider what God is saying. What does He really mean there? And how do I apply that to my life? Why should you do this? Not because God is threatening you, but because something else is threatening you: sin, death, and Satan. Listen to these words in verse 51. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death." What does this mean? Jesus didn't say that those who keep his word won't die. He said that they will never see death. Jesus meant that when you see something, its qualities enter your brain and mind and affect your emotions, will, and heart. Those people who see death experience its full force, so that its qualities affect their mind, emotions, will, and heart, and it never leaves them. Their soul dies with their bodies. That's what it means to see death. Those people who listen to God's word and who abide in it will not see death. Well, their bodies will die, of course, but their souls cannot be harmed by the experience of death. Oh, they may be worried. They may groan. They may be worried about leaving their family behind and who's going to take care of them. But their soul cannot be harmed because it is with Jesus. Jesus talks about the soul of Lazarus in heaven with Abraham in one of his parables. The book of Revelation talks about the souls of believers in God's temple, and they're there prior to the last judgment. What this means, then, is if you believe in the words of Jesus and abide in those words, death cannot harm your soul. It cannot harm the you that is you. On the day when your body ceases its life, your soul will arise to heaven, just as Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to you, verse 51, in words you should always remember, truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. In our Savior's name, amen.